From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, not enough energy in Texas, a military stand-down order, and protecting girls' sports. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Reagan Republican, and Christ follower. In states like Minnesota, Wisconsin, Colorado, and Michigan, it's not unusual for it to be extremely cold this time of year. But for much of Texas, it's extremely rare for them to see snow, let alone nearly a week of it. The Arctic blast seen across much of the South has caused a crippled infrastructure and dangerous circumstances for millions of people. In fact, my son James and his wife are in Austin, and they've been without water for 4 days now, and it's likely to be more than a week when it's all said and done. This past week, during our Pray Vote Stand gathering, Texas and other southern states were the focus for that time of prayer. Senator Tom Cotton's state of Arkansas has also been affected by the extreme weather, and he joined Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to discuss energy policy as well as some of President Biden's town hall comments.
Senator, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Tony. It's good to be back on with you again.
I want to get into China because I know that's something that you care about a lot and have been focused on. But first, I want to address this issue of what's happening across America's power outages. What's the situation like in Arkansas?
Well, it's very cold, Tony, and there's a lot of snow on the ground, and there's some people without power. We've had some strain on our grid system, and obviously anytime you have ice with above-ground wires, you have a chance of damage to those. I just want to encourage all my fellow Arkansans to listen to the governors and the local government's officials to make sure that everyone stays safe and warm and protected in this time. So let's just say a prayer for everyone across Arkansas and across this entire country who's dealing with this extremely cold and dangerous weather.
Yeah, this is a unique record-setting, not something we have a lot of, but we have seen more and more natural disasters, hurricanes, severe weather events, which I would include this in that category. But some are saying, because, for instance, in Texas, where there has been an over-dependence upon renewable energy, is this something that should prompt a reevaluation of the Biden administration's policies that they've already announced within the, you know, the first days of cutting off the Keystone Pipeline, moving away from fossil fuels?
Yes, Tony, I think it should. Obviously, Texas depends a lot on wind energy. It's pretty windy out there in West Texas. But one of the challenges of certain forms of renewable energy, like wind energy or solar energy, is it only works when the wind is blowing or when the sun is shining. And in this case, when it's warm enough for those windmills to turn. So that's an important part of America's energy mix. Don't get me wrong, but right. You have to have a certain amount of reliable baseload power that comes from coal or natural gas or nuclear power. And that's my understanding of what happened in Texas. Again, many factors, but because under normal times they get so much of their energy now from wind power, when these windmills were frozen and couldn't operate, it caused a surge in those baseload sources that their energy generating plants and their grid couldn't handle. Now, you've got to maintain a modern grid. You know, you need to have your power plants winterized and prepared for stuff like this. That's really independent of the source of energy, but it's also the case that you have to have that reliable baseload power of coal and natural gas and nuclear power that is going to be suitable no matter what the conditions are outside.
Right. I am with you 100%. I think the renewable energy sources are good to pursue. They can complement the basic energy supply. But in a situation like this, where you have freezing sub-zero temperatures in some places and people with no power, this is a very, very dangerous situation.
Very, very dangerous. And in some ways, Tony, I mean, there's only so much that local officials can do for extreme weather. I mean, I don't think many people would expect, you know, Galveston or Beaumont, Texas, to have a large fleet of snowplows, just like you wouldn't expect, you know, a lot of northern European cities to have air conditioning in every home. And when they have a heat wave there, they have casualties, too. But what we can do as a nation is to make sure that our energy sources are reliable and stable and affordable. And there's a role in that for renewable energy. And hopefully technology will continue to improve and it becomes even more reliable. But for the time being, it is still essential to have that stable base of power that comes primarily in our country from coal and natural gas and nuclear.
Absolutely. Well, just for the record, I'm sitting here in Louisiana, back home in Louisiana, looking at icicles hanging off my roof. I prefer the humidity in August over the icicles.
Well,
we deal with hurricanes here, and you know we lose power, we occasionally lose water, but you're not at risk. You know, the element, you can get heat stroke. I mean, I get that. I've been out there and done that. But these types of weather events are extremely dangerous because you can't get supplies in and out, and people are without water. And so this is, as you said, something we should be praying about, but also evaluating our policies, not thinking this is a one-off.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're seeing more and more of these extreme weather situations that have been hitting our country, partly just because of the growth of population and many other things, which...
And I would also, I mean, in addition to the prayers, I encourage all of my fellow Crimsons listening tonight, everyone listening across the country, I mean, also go the extra mile to, you know, check on your neighbors, check on the elderly, people who might need power for medical devices, people who maybe are struggling to make ends meet and didn't prepare for the evening. Do what you can, whether it's taking them into your church or your home or helping them get connected to their local government to make sure that they are able to get through these next few nights.
Absolutely. And we're going to be talking about that tonight. Churches that are opening their doors that have power as warming centers so people without power can come in. And so that's certainly an opportunity for pastors in these affected areas. If your churches have power, you certainly can open and invite those that do not have power to come in, and maybe the community will pitch in and the church and give them a warm meal and a place to stay. Senator, I want to shift gears here now. The president last night holding his first town hall meeting, the issue of China came up. I'm not quite sure I understood what he was saying as he talked about China. But this is something you are particularly concerned about. We've talked about it many times, the threat that we have from China, both economic and from a military standpoint.
China is a very grave threat, Tony. I'll be releasing a major report tomorrow that we've worked on for 2 years in the Banking Committee about how to disentangle our economy from China so we can eliminate the points of leverage they have over our society, whether it's pharmaceuticals or basic medical equipment, as we saw last spring at the beginning of this pandemic, or their access to refined rare earth elements that are so essential for our economy today, or other points of leverage that they have over the United States. I was also troubled last night to hear what the president said about China's treatment of some of its religious and ethnic minorities. You know, he seemed to say that they have different norms. Well, there are no norms when it comes to the fundamental equality of all mankind. Whether you're American or Chinese or anyone else, you are born equal in the eyes of God, and there's no place for the kind of oppression you see in China. I mean, in northwestern China in particular, the Chinese Communist Party, specifically under the direction of Xi Jinping for the last 7 years, has been engaged in a campaign of horrible genocide against a religious and ethnic minority of people called the Uyghurs. There are horrible reports. I'm not even going to say on a family radio program, Tony, what the British Broadcasting Corporation just revealed they do to women in northwest China. I would encourage your listeners, though, if you want to know the full depravity of their crimes, just to Google BBC and the Chinese Communist Party, and you'll probably get the results. It's terrible, and the United States needs to condemn it, and we need to lead the world in taking action against the Chinese Communist Party.
Senator, wouldn't history instruct us that if America looks the other way when these types of human rights violations take place, that it will only expand and others will take their cue, that America doesn't care?
That's exactly what history teaches us, Tony. We're talking about millions of people inside of China, not just in northwest China, but Christians throughout eastern China that have tried to practice our religion in private churches, having their homes invaded. Democracy activists in Hong Kong have been persecuted terribly. And the United States has to lead the world in condemning these kind of practices. And it's not just a moral imperative, it's a strategic imperative. You know, Ronald Reagan understood that nothing antagonized Soviet communists more than highlighting their oppression of minorities inside of Russia. The same is true of the Chinese Communist Party. If we shine a light on these barbaric, horrific practices and lead the world in condemning it, then it will put us in a stronger position in China.
And if the Biden administration doesn't act, the American people still have the power to act with their buying power by refusing to buy products made in China, oftentimes with that forced labor of the Uyghurs and others that you talked about.
Yeah, that's exactly right, even though it's a sad fact.
Yeah. Senator, we're out of time. Look forward to seeing your report that comes out tomorrow. And thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And stay warm.
Thank you, Kenny.
You can find out more about Tom Cotton when you visit TonyPerkins.com. When we come back, one state fights back against the LGBTQ's incursion into women's sports.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Hannah.
What's going on? Why so gloomy?
Well, I'm a little disappointed. I had a lot planned to do during the stay-at-home time, and I just didn't do it.
Oh yeah? What did you have planned that you didn't get to do?
Well, I was actually hoping I would finally be able to get time to do a regular Bible reading routine, and I started a couple of times. I just didn't stick with it.
Don't be too down on yourself. Starting a new routine can be hard, but one way to help is to join in with others and to have a good game plan. I think I have a good solution for you.
Oh yeah?
Tony Perkins and FRC are doing a 2-year study in the Word. They have it all mapped out.
When did they start? I would be so far behind.
Oh, that's not a problem. You can literally jump in anytime. There's a daily reading, just a couple of chapters a day, with questions to help you think about what you're reading.
Nice. Where can I find this?
Go to frc.org/Bible, and you can get started.
Where's that again?
frc.org/Bible.
Got it. Checking it out now.
In our time, North Korea remains one of the world's most mysterious countries. Unfortunately, what we do know about North Korea indicates the country is also one of the world's worst abusers of human rights, including violations of religious freedom. The North Korean regime has engaged in an intense crackdown on religion for decades. Today, few religious believers remain, and those who do face grave danger. The secretive nature of the regime, nicknamed the Hermit Kingdom, makes it difficult for American leaders to address these human rights issues. Yet, even though options are limited, the gravity of the situation calls on Western countries to take every action possible to relieve the suffering of the North Korean people, a people who have no chance of speaking up for themselves. To learn more about this important issue, check out FRC's publication titled North Korea, the World's Foremost Violator of Religious Freedom. To access the information you need to stay informed, including a list of policy proposals, go to frc.org/North Korea.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. A week ago on Thursday, the Mississippi State Senate voted to ban transgender athletes from competing in women's sports. This is a bold move by the state because this flies in the face of the executive orders from President Biden trying to force states to accept the unfair practice. Joining Tony Perkins to discuss the state's move is Mississippi State Senator Angela Hill.
Senator, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Tony.
Let me just start with this. Mississippi's not alone. Other states are taking this action, a lot of it being driven by the executive orders handed down by the Biden administration that were forcing schools to adopt transgender policies, including in their sports. But why, as a state policymaker, is this bill important?
Well, it was important to me before the Biden administration. I actually tried to get this bill passed last year. I have been keenly aware of what's been going on in Connecticut and many other states with regard to biological males coming in and dominating female-only sports. And I've had a number of coaches contact me in Mississippi and tell me that this is about to be an issue here. And we really, truly need to look, you know, forward and have a policy in place and not wait until, you know, many girls are deprived of their opportunities. So I'm not a reactive person. I can see things coming, and I try to make sure that we have a policy in place before these schools have to, litigate on their own.
Now, Senator, what was the purpose when we began to create women's sports decades ago?
Well, you know, Title IX enjoys 50 years of women's sports and women's business, protecting women in all kinds of arenas. And, you know, that was the very reason for setting aside a certain sport for females only, is so that they could compete on a level playing field.
And, of course, women now in sports, women's sports have become a big deal in high school and college, and many young women make their kind of get their ticket to college through sports. That could be lost if we allow this transgenderism.
Absolutely. I mean, you can see in many areas where many biological males are dominating in female sports already, and it's just growing. And it has to be addressed because, you know, females deserve to be able to compete fairly. Mm-hmm. And when you have average males that can easily dominate the most elite female athletes, you know, biological males, they're much stronger. They're physiologically better performers than, you know, female athletes. So you can't have a fair playing field with biological males competing against females.
Well, now let's not let science get in the way. I mean, there's biological.
No, of course not. Of course not. Let's just let you know, supposition, you know, and whatever feelings that somebody has rule the day and forget about biology.
Well, it doesn't appear that argument carried the day in the Senate. 34-9 is a pretty strong vote in the state Senate. There, what were the arguments from those who opposed your bill?
Really had no arguments. I had no questions on the floor. Very few, if any, questions on the floor.
So now the bill goes to the House. I would assume the prospects are pretty good.
I think the prospects are pretty good in the House. I feel like that with the majority of Mississippians supporting this bill, I think that, you know, we have a really good chance in the House. I think some people have already contacted the Speaker. And it looks like we're going to maybe get it through the House. I've had a good conversation with the governor's office. I think the governor will sign the bill. So we just need to get it through the Mississippi House of Representatives.
Yeah, I think the governor will sign it. In fact, I've seen the governor has made statements regarding the Biden executive orders in opposition to those orders. So I feel pretty confident you get this bill through the House and Governor Tate will sign it.
I think so. I think he'll sign it. When it passed the Senate, I got a text from his office indicating that the governor was very pleased that the bill was able to pass through the Senate. So that's my green light that the governor is supportive and that he will sign this bill.
All right. Senator Angela Hill, thanks so much for joining us and also for taking the lead on this important issue.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Tony. You know, we just have to try to bring some common sense, into the picture and just keep doing what we've been doing for 50 years to protect female sports.
Could not agree more. Common sense usually wins the day.
We are so thankful to have state leaders like Senator Hill to protect women's sports, especially when leaders in D.C. have another agenda. Next week, the Democrat-controlled U.S. House of Representatives wants to push through the misnamed Equality Act, a horrible bill that represents a grave threat to many of the values that our nation holds dear, eroding everything from protections for the unborn to religious freedom, scientific objectivity in medicine, privacy and fairness in women's sports, as well as parental rights. Why don't you visit TonyPerkins.com and find the link to contact your representative today and to tell them not to co-sponsor or support the Equality Act. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com and find the link to contact your representative. We'll be back with Representative Jim Banks from Indiana.
In this season our nation is in, it is necessary for Christians to pray, to stand for truth, and to above all things seek after the Lord. Every Wednesday, FRC and FRC Action President Tony Perkins hosts the Pray, Vote, Stand broadcast to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ to focus our attention on the Lord first and in every aspect of our lives. This program's purpose is to help equip you to pray, vote, and stand for biblical truth in the midst of a confusing time in our culture. Tony is joined by experts, elected leaders, and Christian leaders for this weekly half-hour program to help you see through the fog that's being created by the biased lenses of the mainstream media. This year, let's commit to pray for our nation, to stand for truth, and to seek the Lord first. To watch the Pray Vote Stand weekly broadcasts, visit PrayVoteStand.org. That's PrayVoteStand.org.
Aw, man.
What's wrong?
I just missed Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, and our congressman was going to be on the show today.
Oh, that's not a big deal.
What do you mean?
Well, you can always catch the replay of the day's show.
How's that?
With the Stand Firm app.
Yeah?
Yep, you can catch that day's program and so much more. You can contact your elected officials on campaigns and policies that are important to you with the Take Action tab. You can listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins live and play previous episodes while conveniently going about your day. You can access the Washington Update, informative blogs, tweets, and critical campaigns on the main feed so you can stay up to date on local and national news.
Wow, I definitely use that. How do you find the app?
Just visit frc.org/app and download, or search Stand Firm in the App Store.
Okay, that's Stand Firm.
Yep, Stand Firm.
How do you know all this?
Because I'm a SageCon, but that's another story.
Huh?
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Earlier this month, new Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin ordered a military stand down in order to root out extremism within the military. But what would that actually mean? Joining FRC President Tony Perkins to discuss it is Representative Jim Banks of Indiana, who is also on the House Armed Services Committee.
Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Tony, good to be with you.
Let's talk about this stand down order and these terms that are not clearly defined in terms of, you know, addressing the issue of extremism. I think we can all be very, very clear in our agreement that anyone who advocates to overthrow the government, advances ideology of white supremacy and, you know, so on and so forth, clearly it does not fit in our military. But that's not the definitions that we're seeing used.
Yeah, unfortunately, Tony, if you ask anyone on the left, especially a number of my colleagues who have been beating this drum in the halls of Congress, none of them can particularly identify or answer the question or define in any certain way what they mean by an extremist. I mean, they call me an extremist. They call you an extremist. They call the Family Research Council extremists. They call most Republicans extremists. So we know that their definition already is pretty broad and politically driven to drive their narrative and their ideological and political purposes. The problem with that is when you apply that to the military, to our men and women in uniform who have political beliefs of their own that they express out when they're outside of their service, when they're out of uniform, when they go to the ballot box and vote, that's where this gets pretty dangerous and becomes a slippery slope down a hill that I'm pretty sure I know where all this arrives at from a left-wing Democrat viewpoint, and that's that anyone and everyone who voted for Donald Trump on Election Day is an extremist, and in their mind, has no business serving in the uniform.
Well, when you take this in context with everything else that has happened since January the 6th, and I've talked about this on the program many times, all of the, you know, the boards on our building came down, all of the businesses that were boarded up after the riots, you know, in last summer, and after, you know, the left didn't riot after the election, we took the boards down, but the fences and razor wire is going up around the Capitol, and it, to me, it's political theater. It looks like, in context, this is an attack on political thought that the left disagrees with.
No, there's no question about it. I mean, there's way too much of that. It's been going on for a long time from the left, but it's been heightened since January 6th, and it's all politically driven. I mean, at the end of the day, the Democrats they want to maintain their majorities. They want to drive a stake through Republicans and prevent us from winning back the majority in the 2022 election and the White House in 2024. So this is all politically driven on their part. I happen to believe, though, Tony, that it's going to have the opposite effect in upcoming elections than what Democrats are hoping for. But what I'm most concerned about, and by the way, I just became the ranking member of the Military Personnel Subcommittee on the Armed Services Committee. Little did I know when I was given that assignment by the Republican ranking member, Mike Rogers, from Alabama, that he was thrusting me right into the middle of all of this debate, because all of our hearings that are being organized by the majority, the Democrats, are all tailored to this subject on extremism in the ranks. And we have these hearings coming up, and you can already hear the rhetoric coming from the left that they believe that anyone who was down on the mall to listen to the president speak on January 6th, by the way, I had a lot of constituents who were there who are patriotic Americans that came to hear their president, who they loved and supported, speak on the mall, who did not participate in storming the Capitol, by the way. There were also a lot of our service members out of uniform who were there peaceably assembling, which is a constitutional right that we afford to every American, whether you serve in the military or not, to peaceably assemble, as many of them did on January 6th, who didn't participate in storming the Capitol, and they want to strip. Even if you were there, they want to strip you of your ability to serve your country in the military, and that's a dangerous precedent, and it's one that I will fight tooth and nail against. But you can already hear the rhetoric coming from the left that that's where all of these hearings and this debate is heading from their perspective.
That's chilling. That is absolutely chilling, frightening. To think that is how this is being used. Any recourse from the conservative minority in the Congress?
Well, I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think if we fight back against this type of so-called cancel culture coming from the left with its sights on our service members, and we educate the American people more and more about it, I think the recourse will be at the ballot box, Tony. I mean, there's nowhere else the recourse can be felt more importantly than there.
Well, it certainly needs to be highlighted so that people understand the consequences of these elections and the types of policies the left is pushing through. Congressman Jim Banks, thanks so much for joining us today.
Great to be with you.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, encouraging you to pray for our nation. I want to thank you for being with us, and I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.